The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Monday morning. It is the 29th of March 2021 and we're with you till 10 o'clock. It's good to be back. It's good to have you with us, and you can text us on 51551 and email ryan@rte.ie. And we begin by thanking Oliver Callan for doing such a splendid job while I was off. He's just tremendous. He really is brilliant replacing me when I'm off. He's great here, and he's funny and he's insightful and he's great at what he does. So, and Callan's Kicks is hilarious. I listen to it mostly Saturday morning when I go for a walk, and people see me and think, that poor fella's deranged. He was working last night and now he's laughing to himself on the pier. I find that the ear pods are so discreet that no one sees them. And they might say something to you and go, he's very rude. Didn't stop to say hello. Didn't respond to me shouting at him. Hopefully something nice. Not all the time. And it's largely because I've got them in my, and I'm listening to maybe a podcast or some music or the radio. And oftentimes if it's something like Callan's Kicks or Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, I am laughing like a lunatic on my own, having a ball, but looking like a lunatic. So that's what, it's just, if you ever happen to pass me by, a lot of people do pass me by. I've said it before, but in the 5K hamster wheel that I inhabit, you meet the same people. When I say meet them, you see pretty much the same people all the time. And that's because your habits, aren't they biologically, you find yourself doing the same thing around the same time, therefore you meet kind of the same people all the time. And with the few days off that I had, which I loved, I was kind of going, what am I going to do to fill my day? I had no trouble filling my day every day, and it was strange. I won't bore you to death with my clean windows at home that are now spotless. I won't bore you to death with how tidy, how clean everything is, but that's what you do when you have a time off in the middle of a pandemic. And I was very pleased. I read a lot and I watched a lot of TV, many documentaries. Do you want to know what I watched? I'm happy to share what I saw. I saw some really good documentaries. The one that really made me, that really got me of all of them, because I watched loads of stuff, but I found myself on a strain of program watching, documentary watching, that was about people who are con artists. Like in the art world in New York, how do you know the difference between a real or a fake Jackson Pollock or Mark Rothko or something like this? And then all these very high-end wealthy people stroking their chins being conned. And then you've got this terrible, cruel schadenfreude going, you fools, you big, rich fools, buying something for 20 million that's not worth 50p. This documentary is called Made You Look. And here's the beauty of it. A, it's brilliantly told. B, it's a fascinating story. And C, for the win, it's an hour and a half. It is not a Netflix thunderbore, six parts, squeeze everything out of it, even though there's nothing in it. In fairness, it is a Netflix, which is fair enough, but it's an hour and a half. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you remember movies used to be an hour and a half and it was a joy and you didn't have to park half a day to watch the movie, you know? So that's what it's called. It made you look, and you're looking at it going, so what if Jackson Pollock did do the painting you spent stupid money on, and then somebody else says, but that's also by Jackson Pollock. And what if it's not? In the course of 2 seconds of finding out it's a fake, that thing on the wall suddenly isn't attractive anymore. Why not? You thought up until a minute ago that thing, that canvas and piece of wood, the frame, was worth 20 million. Now it's worth 50p. What's wrong? You go, no, but it's, oh. So it gets into all of that. Con artists and people, the brazenness of it. The brazenness of it. Then I watched another one. All right, thank you, by the way, for all the people who recommended these things to me. I didn't come across them by chance. Sour Grapes. Great name. It's about the same thing in terms of con artists and chin stroking. People think that they're so erudite and intelligent, but it's about the wine business. I know nothing about the wine world, nothing. I drink very little wine, and at a push, a couple of glasses of nice red, perhaps. But the point of this is it's about the labels, the bottles, the cork, the it's all of this. So they're all going, oh, this, and they're drinking the wine. They're going, it's lovely, and they're spitting it out and putting it in, and they're swirling it around. They're going, it's going to years. Let it breathe, let it breathe, let it breathe. Put it beside the fire, let it breathe. And you know, everyone knows a wine bore. Come on, you know, who just cut. Now, have you seen this one? You just go, oh, crikey. And then you know somebody who's not actually boring about wine, who knows their wine. That's really interesting about it, if that's your thing. It's not my thing. And yet this documentary was brilliant, called Sour Grapes. Love that. Then I watched another one, again about something I don't know an awful lot about, boxing, right? Bruno versus Tyson. I thought Frank Bruno was this kind of jokey character in the 80s when I was growing up. He was always on quiz shows and Tiswas or whatever the hell he was on. And it's the story of Frank Bruno and Mike Tyson, and it goes into all the archive and takes you through their worlds and right up to where they are now. And it is intriguing. And I suppose it's not so much about boxing. It's the psychodrama of these titans in their fields. The rise, the fall, and the ultimate demise and age and all of the things that go with it. It's a terrific documentary as well. So that they were the kind of things I was watching and thinking about, and in between walking and cycling. I had a really lovely time. And as I say, it was just peace, peace. And then I thought, if I was off any other time, I'd probably try to go out west or even go to London or something, or sorry, somewhere far. Not then you're into airports, taxis, packing, planning. And then you have to go for dinner, and then you have to, which are all beautiful things. But when you're forced by Mother Nature in a bad mood to say, no, no one's going anywhere, you kind of find yourself going, well, maybe I'll just, you know, clean the windows, listen to some lovely music. It's strangely... I was all right. Now, we are coming towards restriction lifting times. I was listening to them going, you can go out and play golf. That's not going to do anything for me. You can go out and play tennis. That's not going to do anything for me. You can go building. That's not going to do anything for me. You're lifting no restrictions. That's going to be anything for me. The selfish me was thinking, is there anything I can do with the restrictions? If you can go out to 10K, that's not really going to do much for me either. I very selfishly looking at the restrictions being lifted, thinking there's nothing in this for me. And I know that sounds nasty and mean-spirited, but it's also a matter of fact, but that's it. Thank you to the viewers of The Late Late Show on Friday for raising over €3 million for the Irish Cancer Society. It was one of those programmes. I don't know if I can explain to you the atmosphere in the studio on Friday night. It was so emotional and so glorious and joyful, despite the obvious sense of sadness that comes with the story of cancer. But the money kept rolling in, and, you know, people are, I keep hearing this, people are fed up, and yet they keep giving. It is astounding. Since this pandemic, the viewers of The Late Late Show watch the programme and have raised, we're now touching nearly €20 million. Imagine that, from people at home who should be fed up to the point that they couldn't be bothered donating to charity or can't afford to donate to charity. I got some gorgeous messages on Instagram from people over the weekend who said, look, I'm going to have less in my shopping basket this week because I had to donate €25 on Friday night. And I'll be less something in my kitchen cupboard, essentially. I just thought that blew my mind, that level of kindness and altruism. And the Irish Cancer Society people were onto us over the weekend, and they're saying, you need to know how much this means. You need to know what this is going to do. Those incredible night nurses, the funding of those buses that travel around the country bringing people to appointments. You need to know. So I'm passing this on. I'm passing you on the gratitude, and I'm passing you on the information that all those €25 and €10, and for the people who said, yeah, I'll be down a couple of things this weekend, you have made a sacrifice which will actually go to good and will make a difference. So beware of that. And we are grateful as a programme as well, all the people who pulled that show together and everyone who took part. I think of Shane Filan's honesty, you know, and Oisin Kiernan talking about something that young men mightn't be comfortable talking about. Great Cavan Hero talking like that. Shane Filan, you know, we didn't even talk about the band he was in. or the new album or the tour, because it just wasn't, it was just talking about his story. And very giving, very generous thing to do, to go so public about something so private. And that would have all fed into then the sense of fundraising. Then, of course, the glorious volunteers, those massively important people and fundraisers all over the country, swimming and running and singing constantly for charity, fundraising. And there's a lot of kindness out there that gets lost in the noise of the angry. And it's great to feel that positivity, that sense that, yeah, of course, everyone's fed up. And tomorrow's, you know, these restrictions are kind of Mickey Mouse lifting restrictions. And we're thinking another six. Can we do another 6 weeks? And look, let's face it, we're all feeling it. But then you see this €3 million for Irish Cancer Society. That's got to be a pep in your step about us as a people, that we just keep going, keep giving. It's breathtaking. Okay. Oh, I watched a movie that was on my mind. I must watch. And I said, I wonder, has it aged well? And it hasn't. It's The Da Vinci Code. I wanted to go to Paris and I wanted to see the Louvre. And then I saw Tom Hanks in his barnet, the haircut on him. And it just aged badly. It was actually like an action movie. I realised the book was great, Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown. But the film did not age too well. However, I see in the papers this morning that the Louvre Museum in real life is putting its entire collection online so we can all go surfing through the Louvre together this week. That's great, isn't it? I was thinking, since I last saw you all, I said, when I go back, what will I tell you? And I thought I can say, well, I was in Paris. I was in India. I'm going to tell you about that later, this book I read. Again, India. I seem to have a kind of curious fascination with India, but I just keep getting drawn to that light. But with reading, and I was in Boston, with reading and viewing, it just brings you, doesn't it, to all these different places. And you think about it. I was up getting my bike sorted out, and I was chatting to Eddie in the bike shop, and another fella, because the bike, it's one of those great Irish bike shops that sells bikes, but fishing tackle, of course, why not? And we were chatting about fishing. And for about 20 minutes, we were saying, I said, gosh, we're near enough to the Mayfly now. You'd be like to be on the carb, casting a line and getting the flask of coffee, you know, maybe a packet of Figaro's, and the water lapping up against the boat, no phone, and maybe stopping off at an island and having a volcano of tea. And as we were talking, he was saying his stories about where he'd like to be. About 20 minutes later, we finished talking. I said, geez, I said, Eddie, I feel like I was out in the lake with you for the last hour and a half. That was lovely. Because we have to fantasize our way through our holidays. Another conversation with my eldest daughter about going away and having that lovely cup of coffee in the sun in the morning. It sounds strange, but you know, when you're on holidays, lovely coffee with the creme top, maybe a croissant with that, and then lazy day. And then that first cold beer around 5:30, 6 o'clock after you've got ready to go out for the night, wearing a t-shirt, just enjoying it all. Fantasy Island. Anyway, these are called, what are they? Reveries. The Louvre. Get to the Louvre. To the Louvre's with you. Let's not lose sight of our vaccinators, by the way. What dedication. This is the Irish Medical Organisation saying this amazing GP couple, Brian King and Sinead Cronin, were due to get married on Saturday. But like so many, they postponed the big day so they could vaccinate our most vulnerable. So Sinead herself tweeted on Saturday, "My feet should be sore from dancing at my wedding this evening, but instead they're sore after a packed vaccine clinic. Good on you." As a wise woman told me, says Sinead, anyone can get married, but not everyone can vaccinate. It's a privilege and our day will come. Well, come on, the couple. That wedding's waiting for you. That cake is waiting for you. The honeymoon's waiting for you. It's all going to happen. Okay, so hold tight and thank you for what you're doing, because it's really important and we appreciate it. No end. Virgin Atlantic has become the latest airline to announce a trial of so-called vaccine passports. Vaccine passports, it's got to be the way forward, is it? You know, when you go on to go to the pub, sure, you got any ID? Yeah. Well, I'm not ever asked for ID anymore. Have you got your vaccine passport? Yes, I do. Well, I don't actually, in case you're wondering, but when I do, I'm up for that. Just get me into the pub, get me out on a plane, get me wherever I want to go. And it takes a vaccine passport, I'll take it if I have to. I don't mind at all. According to Caroline Robbins, who's the chair of the GP committee, the Irish Dental Association, demand for dentists has gone through the roof. Why? Because we're on Zoom meetings, or, but not just enough to just be meetings, could be family gatherings, And we keep seeing ourselves now on screens. Welcome to my world. And what you see, you don't like. Welcome to my world. And you're looking at it saying, look at the teeth. I don't like that. I don't. They seem a bit crooked. So they're now ringing the dentist saying, fix my teeth. That's what you want to do. And David Beckham's son, Brooklyn Beckham, is getting married to a woman called Nicola. And Nicola made jewellery out of their wisdom teeth. I mean, this is true love. She wrote that I got our wisdom teeth made into necklaces at Brooklyn Beckham. You're my best friend. And he responded, the best gift from my best friend and the most amazing fiance. Unfortunate spelling. I love you. I love you like crazy. And there they are. They're Instagramming their love for each other. They could always say it to each other, but why not? It's their digital natives. Instagram it, and then it's definitely real. And that's good news. 51551. You always say hello to us when we're on the pier. Frazzled parent with red buggy and a double buggy with two little girls eating 99s, or just crazy running with buggies. It depends. But happy days. It's the small things. Keep walking. Earpods or not. Ronan Lupton. Thank you, Ronan. I'm always happy to say hi to anyone who says hello. It's the ones that stare with the half smile who are going, I don't think. And I'm looking at you going, well, are you just having a look, or do I know you? Do you want to say hello? But or do you just hate what I do? You're making that face that says, I'm not sure about him. People give me a pain in my face. I don't doubt for a moment that I give you a pain in your face. That's what happens. I can't be loved by all. I know, as a matter of fact, it's not the case. I was down on Bray Seafront, says Alex Meehan, journalist. And one of the cafes has a stereo system broadcasting the sounds of hawks and birds of prey. And as a result, not a seagull to be seen. How about that? No seagull. I went for a COVID test in Tala Stadium, says Maeve, over the weekend. I want to say chapeau, hats off to all involved in administrating. It was efficient, fast and friendly, and the results came within 24 hours. Thankfully, in my case, no detection of the virus. Well worth taking this free test. So thanks to everybody. Good on you. That's good news too. Okay, loads to talk about. We've got a quiz for you today to win some prizes. And we have other things. Plenty to talk about. So stay with us. 51551 is the text number. We are open for business. Loving. Stevie Wonder, and I was made to love her. I was listening to a lot of Jerry Lee Lewis, strangely, on my break. Not just Jerry Lee Lewis, but Jerry Lee Lewis performing live. That's dark. Dark and dirty. And he's a bad egg, there, Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, him on the piano, it's like you're interrupting. 51551. Well, you're in India with your book, I Was in Iceland. Oh, good man, Stuart, reading Ragnar Jonasson's with Hulda as my tour guide. It was brilliant to being somewhere afar. I'll just tell you quickly about the book I read, because it's called A Mystery of the Parsi Lawyer. And this comes with a qualification in that this wouldn't be for everyone. So this isn't a broad recommend. I must read that. No, you'd have to be into things like The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher. It's a true crime, absolutely nonfiction, based in kind of Victorian Britain. Now, already I've lost half of you. That's fine. But those of you who are into that kind of thing will love this story, because it's of an Indian who converts to Christianity, comes over to a small village in the UK, brings up his family, becomes a vicar, an unlikely vicar, but he's a vicar because he's Indian and it's strange in those times, marries a local woman, and that's all fine. And his son is a solicitor in his probably early 20s. And when all of a sudden around the village, there's a spate of animal eviscerations. Cows, horses, sheep are being ripped from under the belly by blades. And they're trying to figure out who's doing this. So the local police decide, actually, I bet you it's that guy, the Indian lawyer. It's got to be. And they stitch him up. And then the trial is fascinating, and the miscarriage of justice is fascinating. But the twist in the tale is, and I'm not giving nothing away, it says it on the cover of the book, is that who comes on to try and help the poor lawyer and his family, George Idalji? The answer is Arthur Conan Doyle, the man who created Sherlock Holmes, and in real life decides this is awful. I'm going to try and help fix this. And it is intriguing story, and I loved it. And it's by Shrabani Basu. It's called The Mystery of the Parsi Lawyer. We might put it on Facebook so you don't have to keep wondering what's the story. But there was a paragraph I want to share with you in it that I thought was really eye-catching. Talking about it was unusual for women from the British Isles, we'll forgive them for this, to marry Indian men. In 1782, an adventurous young Indian called Saki Din Muhammad left his job as a subedar in the Indian Army and followed his captain, Godfrey Baker, to Ireland. And he lived with the Bakers in Cork and met a young woman, Jane Daly, with whom he eloped in 1786 after her family objected to the match. Jane Daly, 1786, in Cork. So she hops off with her lover and husband, Dean Muhammad, who then became very famous because he was the first Indian to be published in English. He eventually set up the Hindustani Coffee House in Portman Square in London, the first curry house in Britain. He's a very interesting person. And he was then eventually, that closed down, and he started a bathhouse, became the first to offer Indian head massage and aromatherapy. Man, this is 1812. Man ahead of his time, married to an Irish woman, Jane Daly. Anyway, there are a few little Irish references in that book that I thought were fascinating and worth a look. The Mystery of the Parsi Lawyer. Now, I know that it's Easter holiday time for a lot of the children and they're off. So as part of that, we are celebrating the Petflix Club online shop. And this is for pet lovers. It was created by a team of trusted animal experts, including well-known Irish vet Pete Wedderburn. And Petflix Club gives you all of the pet advice you need, as well as being an exciting online shop full of the best pet products, all selected by Pete the Vet. So we have a Samsung Galaxy A7 tablet and an amazing Petflix Club prizes to win every day. So this is a €150 voucher for petfixshop.ie. You get a Petflix membership card, a Petflix food for your dog or your cat, and a selection of Chuck It products, including the new ultralight frisbee. So if you've got a furry, a feathery, a fishy, a fangy, a fluttery friend at home, give us a call on 1850 715 900 to play our Kids Know Pets. We've adapted it. We've evolved. It's a Darwinian quiz. He'd love this quiz. Kids Know Pets. That's what we're going to be playing today. All thanks to Petfix Club and petfixshop.ie. Whew. Okay, text 51551. Maybe the restrictions change. We'll be able to get a haircut. I can't wait. My dog looks better than me now. If I had a dog, he or she would also look better than me now. I would love a haircut, I have to say. And I would love that all those beauticians and barbershops and all that could open up tomorrow. Because I think we have all learnt to live with COVID in terms of shops and things like that. And I'm not buying the ongoing shutting of places like that just at the moment, because I think we know how to live with it by and large. Listening to describing the Emperor's New Clothes situation in the art world on the RTE Player, there's a magnificent episode of Frasier. Okay, I'll watch it sometime. Sheesh. It deals exactly with this kind of thing. It's called The Crucible. It'll be a brilliant introduction to you for this series that has brought such joy to our family over the years. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Marina. I will get on to that in due course. What happened was, a lot of you are trying to encourage me to watch Frasier. I'm not against it at all. In fact, I want to watch it. But I started watching Veep from season 1 to season 7. And it's my comic sorbet. It's my comic treat at the end of a given day. And I'm making my way through that. And then I'll see you later.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, on a lighter note, loves the shirt and tie on the Late Late Show on Friday night. Keep it going. Interesting. Thank you to Stacey, my erstwhile colleague and friend in the costume department, who picked out that striking yellow tie to go with the season. But is Easter next Sunday? I'm completely... So we're going to have to think of something Eastery then. I don't know, probably won't wear a tie now on Easter, Good Friday night. It's unlikely. But anyway, I loved wearing it and I'm glad you liked it. That was nice. And thank you for the response by email as well that came in over the weekend to Friday Night Show. I appreciate it very, very, very much indeed. I'm going to pause for a minute because I want to say a few words about somebody very important who we lost at the weekend. And she was a colleague, as it happens, called Fiona Hurley. And her job here in RTE and for us on the Late Late Show was a stage manager. And she would be the person who would greet guests and bring them in and make sure they're okay. And she had plenty of other roles within that as well. But she was one of those very, very kind human beings who people loved. When we did the toy show, she dressed up. She dressed up as Princess Fiona, went fully green and really went for it. You know, one of those people who just get it and get the happiness. And she loved her dogs and she loved talking about dogs. And she was always giving out to me for talking about dogs in a mean way if ever I did. And right up till recently, she had said, "Tell him to stop being mean about the dogs jumping up on him." And that's how funny she was too. A gorgeous sense of humour. She was, as I said this morning in a post on Instagram, she was a beacon of light. And sadly, she fell ill and she passed away at the weekend. And we as a family on The Late Late Show and broadly in RTÉ are going to miss Fiona Hurley like mad. She was young, too young, and too good to go too soon. So may she rest in peace, and our condolences to her family this Monday morning. And I will sing a lullaby. Beautiful, from the Beatles, and Golden Slumber is at 7 minutes to 10.